Okay, just for the recording, it's Wednesday, the 18th of May 2016, the Father Heart TV webcast. And the title this evening is We Get to Live This Life. Now, a number of you will know my good friend Helene King. Helene's from Scotland, and she's well into her 70s, and she's still traveling the world telling people about the love of the Father. And this is one of her favorite sayings, you know, we get to live this life. And, you know, I know if I'm traveling with her, you know, we get to the airport at an end of a conference, at the end of a school, and we're just sitting in the lounge, and she'll just have a twinkle in her eye and a smile on her face, and she'll say, we just get to live this life. And, you know, she understands something that I think we all really need to understand. You know, she understands what this life that we've been born into, what it's meant to be like. And I feel like I'm just beginning to understand a little bit about what it's about and just beginning to sort of experience that. And, you know, I marvel at the depth of understanding and revelation that Helene has got on this. You know, we get to live this life. You know, sometimes I think we go around with a bit of a long face and it's like, oh, life's hard, life's miserable. And, you know, the reality is stuff happens and things happen in our lives that do drag us down, that do make us sad, that do just cause us to spend a lot of time and emotional energy on them and so on. But I believe there is something greater that we've been called into. And that's what Helene is expressing when she says that, you know, we get to live this life. John 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Passion Translation says, my desire is to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. And I want to say something, you know, really, really profound about that verse. That verse that I've just read to you, it actually means what it says. You know, it means this is the Father's desire. He wants to give us everything in abundance. And when he says everything, he actually means everything. You know, and we're going to look at that in a few minutes. He wants to give us everything in abundance, more than we expect. He means that. He wants to give us more than we can ask or think because he's a good, good Father. He wants us to have life bubbling up inside of us and overflowing out of us. You know, not a life we create for ourselves, but a life that he puts into us, into our hearts. You know, that verse really does mean what it says. You know, he wants to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in all its fullness until you overflow. You know, it's a simple, profound truth. But if only we could get to understand it, if only we could take that and live in it, it really would change our lives. You see, I want to look a little bit at what does that verse mean? See, I think we've spent so long guarding against the thief who's trying to kill, steal and destroy. You know, it's like we've made that our focus. And so we've been looking at all the things that could be stolen and watching out for it and guarding against it. And it's like we've been focusing on that instead of looking at and entering into the abundant life that we can enjoy. And, you know, I believe what we have to do is we have to turn round and look the other way. You see, we do become what we look at. You know, what we gaze upon affects us, it changes us. And if we look at negative things, we feel negative. But if we can turn round and look at positive things and look at the positive, abundant life that the Father wants to give us, then we will begin to reflect what we see, and we will live in this life of abundance and fullness that Jesus promised us and said was our inheritance. You see, what does this mean? What does it mean to have a full, abundant life? What does it mean to have an enjoyable life? You see, I think many of us have grown up with the completely wrong understanding that we cannot enjoy our Christian life, that it's all about service and hard work and striving and performance. And that's just not true. That's completely and utterly the wrong picture. You know, and my encouragement is that we turn round and we look at the abundant, full life that Jesus promises us, and we begin to walk into it. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, it's the Message translation says that we can live freely and lightly. Freely and lightly. See, that's the life of rest that Jesus offers us, that he draws us into. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. You know, come to me, I will not give you a heavy burden. I will not lay anything ill-fitting or heavy on you. But what I have for you is a light load and a pleasant pathway. And the Message puts it so beautifully, is learn the unforced rhythms of grace and learn to live freely and lightly. And that, I believe, is what living life to the full is all about, is that we can live freely and lightly because we know who we are and because we know who our Father is. You know, I need to just stop and ask a question, because I believe many of us have fallen into a trap. You see, a lot of people say, I really want to enjoy my Christian life. You know, I'm fed up of not enjoying my Christian life. You know, I really want to enjoy my Christian life. And, you know, I used to like that statement, and I probably used to say it myself. But the more I've thought about it recently, the more I realize it's actually a silly thing to say. Because the question is what is your Christian life? You know, is it when you're in church? Is it when you go to your midweek meeting? Is it when you watch the Wednesday evening webcast? Is it enjoying some worship? Or, you know, is it simply spending some time with the Father? You know, if that's your Christian life, what label do you put on the rest of your life? Because I think the trap we've fallen into is thinking that our Christian life is limited to a few activities or a few periods of time during the week. And that's just not true. You know, the Father wants you and he wants me to enjoy all of your life. Whether you're doing the shopping, whether you're in the office, whether you're having some recreation, or whether you're simply doing the dishes, he wants you to enjoy everything, you know, all of your life, enjoying it and overflowing with abundant life. See, that's the promise we've been given. That's what Helene has really caught hold of when she says we get to live this life. You see, the trap we've fallen into is thinking that our Christian life is limited or measured by only a few things. And, you know, that's just a completely wrong perspective. You see, the point is, and we all know this really, the moment we're born again, we become a Christian. And, you know, we are a Christian irrespective of the varying activities we do at different times. You know, our Christian life encompasses everything we do and everything we are. And we've fallen into this stupid trap of thinking that some of the things we do are more worthy or more, you know, more worthy or more holy than other things we do. And that's totally, totally wrong thinking and totally, totally a wrong assumption and conclusion. You see, we've created this spiritual secular divide where we think that, you know, one of them is good, maybe even holy, and the other one is bad and probably verging on being sinful. You know, and it's like we put a value on what we call spiritual and we don't put a value on the other things. And that's completely ludicrous and totally, totally unbiblical. You know, there is no such divide in the heart of the Father. And, you know, if we can strip that stupidity away, then we can actually begin to enjoy life to the full. We can actually begin to step into this abundant life because it affects everything and every part of who we are. See, this wrong thinking of placing a higher value on certain things that we do, what it's done is created a hierarchy within the church. And that hierarchy has created division. And that's not how a family operates. You know, my children are all grown up now. They're in their 20s. And, you know, they are my son and my daughters, irrespective of whether we're talking about what they're doing in their workplaces or with their studying or in their church or what they did over the weekend. It makes no difference to me. And it's exactly the same with the Father. It makes no difference to him whether you've been in church, whether you've been on the webcast, or whether you've been out swimming or walking the dog. You know, he is interested in everything and wants us to have all of our lives lived to the full and in this abundant peace and joy and rest that he wants to give us. You see, when we stand back, we realize that we don't turn on being a Christian at certain times or for certain activities. You know, that's who we are. And, you know, we kind of get into this silly game of playing Christian schizophrenia. And to be honest, it's not much fun. And there's certainly no merit attached to it. You know, we can't change our identity or our value before God just by changing our activity. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, my value before God is absolutely nothing to do with what I'm doing at any point in time. My value before him is that I am his son and he loves me in the same way as he loves Jesus. And that is it. That's who I am before him. And whatever I'm doing or whatever I'm involved with is irrelevant because he sees me as his son. And he puts his life in me and he wants me to enjoy it and have an abundant life to the full. See, when we limit it in this way, and I believe, you know, very subtly, a lot of our church thinking has shaped things in the way I've just described. Maybe not as clearly or as provocatively as I've described, but I think quite often subtly and without intention, it's been shaped that way. And so we value different people in different ways because of what they do. You know, Jesus didn't say he came to make us happy in church. He came that we might have life, all of life, to the full, abundant life in every area. And this may come as a surprise to you, but you are actually allowed to enjoy everything you do. And you know, I'm trying not to say now I want to enjoy my Christian life because, you know, what about the rest of my life? You know, I actually want to enjoy all of my life, because that is what I believe is the heart of the Father for each of us, is that we would live in peace and rest. We would learn to live freely and lightly, and that we would have his life in us. You see, it's not a life we have to conjure up in our own strength or in our own abilities. It's his life. You know, Paul writes in Galatians, "The life I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me." See, we live our lives in Christ Jesus. And that's all of our lives. That's what we've called, wrongly called, spiritual or secular. That doesn't exist. We live our life in Christ, simply because of his love for us. And that's the life that he wants us to enjoy. You know, and if... I know for a number of years, for a long time, I had this wrong thinking in my mind about the, you know, what was spiritual and what was secular. And, you know, I really believe that's something that's been undone over the last while, so that we don't look at things and think, oh, that's spiritual or that's secular, that's valuable, that's not valuable, that's good and that's bad. That distinction doesn't exist. And as I said, it actually causes division and disharmony in the family. And if that's been the way you've been thinking, and I think it's very common, is then I just encourage you to take that to the Father and ask him to help that thinking be undone, so that we can see things as he sees things, so that we can see when he says, "I want you to have life," he means all of life. When he talks about abundant life, he really means abundant life. When he talks about life that overflows, he really means life that overflows. You know, and let's take our wrong thinking to him and ask him to undo it, so we begin to see things as he sees things and step into our true destiny and identity as sons and daughters. See, you know, when I talk about us enjoying abundant life in every area and enjoying everything we do and enjoying life to the full, you know, I'm not in any way talking about being free to enjoy the pleasures of sin. You know, nor am I saying we have the right to do as we please. You know, that's not what I'm saying, but that's the sort of thing I hear some people say, is that anything goes because the grace of God is big enough. And you know, of course that's true. The grace of God is big enough. But as Paul says, what shall I say? Shall I go on sinning that grace may abound? No, of course not. You see, when we love our Heavenly Father, when we are in a relationship with him, we will want to live like Jesus. And we will want to do those things that please him. You know, everything inside of us will want to walk away from sin, because we know it creates a barrier, or it creates distance between us and our Father. So, you know, no, I'm not talking about enjoying the pleasures of sin or doing what you like. I'm saying, if our hearts are focused on the Father, if we are constantly being filled with his love, if his love is being, if the substance and the reality of his love is being poured into our hearts on a daily basis, we will want to live like Jesus, and we will want to do the things that please him. You know, we will automatically walk away from the things that hurt that relationship, because our heart is to please our Heavenly Father. See, we've misunderstood, I think, the whole nature of the law from the Old Testament, and maybe even more specifically the Ten Commandments. We've turned something that is meant to be a picture of the nature and personality of a loving Father into a set of rules, or a set of thou shalt and thou shalt nots. And it's the creation of these rules, whether we kind of call it that or not, but it's the creation of these rules that have prevented us stepping into and living in this full and abundant life that Jesus promises. It's the creation of these rules that have focused us on the thief who's trying to steal, kill and destroy, because we think he's put those rules there, and that those rules, obeying those rules, are the only way to win favor with God. And it's, you know, what was meant to be a gateway into the heart of the perfect Father has become a framework for man trying to please God and win his favor through our activity or behavior. See, let me try to illustrate what I mean a little bit about the law and the Ten Commandments. I remember James Jordan telling me of a time he'd spoken to somebody, a Jewish Christian Jew, someone who knew the background of the Jewish people and the Jewish traditions very, very well. And he said to James that the Ten Commandments were really meant to be a picture into what God was like. So, like, for example, we have written down for us, thou shalt not steal, you know, and we take that as a law, and it's actually a good law. You know, we probably shouldn't go around stealing things. But this guy, when he was explaining it to James, he said, this is what it's like. He said, it's like God is saying, there is nothing in my personality that would ever steal. You know, I am a God of love. I am a God of kindness, of generosity. There is nothing in me that would ever want to steal. And if you want to be like me, then you won't steal either. You see, it's like painting a picture in a sentence of what God the Father is like and saying, if you want to be like him, you won't want to do these things. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Good thing. We would all agree that's a good thing for us not to do. But it can become, you know, like, you know, we just read it as one of those laws that we have to do. And if we fail, then there's a penalty and we're judged and so on. But, you know, again, if we look behind this, this is what, you know, God is saying, the Father is saying, there is nothing in me that seeks after or wants broken, destructive relationships. You know, I am a God of love. I am a God of family. I am a God of relationship. There's nothing in me that wants broken, destructive relationships. And if you want to be like me, then you won't want broken, destructive relationships either. See, we can go through all of those Ten Commandments, if you like, in exactly the same way. And the Father saying, this is what I'm like. And if you want to be like me, then you won't want to do these things either. And when we see it in that context, what we have is this gateway that opens a door and lets us into the heart of the Father and takes us deeper into this relationship with him. You see, we've missed the whole point of the law because we've made it a set of rules. And if we don't keep the rules, there's a price or a penalty or there's a judgment that will come upon us. But if we see it as a picture of what the Father is like, and if we want to be like him, then we won't want to do those things either. That takes away all the burden and all the pressure. What it does is it turns us round. So instead of looking in the way that prevents us going into life, it turns us round so we can step into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. The glorious freedom of the children of God, where we can live freely and lightly in this abundant life that he has promised to each one of us. See, this is the abundant life, is when we see what God is like, when we see what Jesus is like, and we want to walk as Jesus walked, because that will lead us into the Father's heart. You know, when we have found our home with the Father, you know, and he is our shield, he is our rock, he is our shelter, he is our hiding place, he is the source of all our provision, he is the one who cares for us, he is the one who loves us, he is the one who sustains us. When we found our home with him and in him, then we can begin to experience this abundant life, because our lives are hidden in Christ, in God. See, it's not our life, it's his life in us. And we will never enjoy life to the full. We will never enjoy this abundant life until we realize that it's actually not our life, but it's his life in us. It's the life of Christ in us and living through us, overflowing through us. See, when we step into that, that's the life that Aline King is talking about. We get to live this life. It's a life of freedom and abandonment when we rest in our Heavenly Father. See, we've not just got the Ten Commandments, but we've created a whole load of other rules, haven't we? You know, all of us, all of our different denominations, all of our different churches, even us as individuals, we have written the rule book of the things we think we have to do in order to please God. And, you know, basically what the Father wants to do is throw all of those rule books out the window and draw us into this relationship of love and life, where we just want to walk as his son Jesus walked, because we know, you know, we can do that. We can walk as Jesus walked when we know that we are loved as Jesus is loved, that the Father loves you and I in exactly the same way as he loves his son Jesus. I just want to talk a little bit about the story of Ruth and Boaz. It's actually one of my favourite Old Testament stories. And, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day, and it suddenly struck me that, you know, actually this story is a picture or an example of the full and abundant life that we've been talking about over the last few minutes. See, the story of Ruth and Boaz, it's a love story. It's a love story between a man and a woman. It's a love story between a rich man and a poor migrant worker who's been brought to this land by her mother-in-law seeking better things. You know, we know this, I hope you can remember the story, but it's very familiar, but Naomi and her husband had gone off when there was a famine in the land, and then her husband dies, her two sons get married, one to Ruth and one to Orpah, and then the two sons die, and Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law. And then she decides it's time to come back to her homeland, and she sets out, and one of the daughters says she will stay, you know, eventually she will stay put where she is. But Ruth commits herself to Naomi and says, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you die, I will die. Your people will be my people. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story of commitment and loyalty. But basically, you know, Ruth is a migrant worker, very poor, got nothing. And this rich man, Boaz, falls in love with her. And it's this beautiful love story, but it's a story of commitment as well between Ruth and her mother-in-law. But it's a story in which we see an incredible depth of love. And it just parallels for us, or gives us a picture, if you like, of the depth of the Father's love for us. You see, Ruth has nothing, but she finds a home. She's got no one to look after her, and yet she finds a husband. You see, this beautiful story gives us a glimpse of what this abundant life is about, because Ruth finds a place of provision. She finds a place of safety. She finds security. She finds relationship, and she's given an inheritance. And we know that she becomes a great-great-grandmother of King David. And you know, she is accepted for who she is. She's brought into a family where her past doesn't matter. You know, her nationality and her background are completely irrelevant to Boaz, because all he wants to do is shower his love upon her and give her abundant life. And, you know, Ruth is redeemed, and she gets back everything that Naomi and her husband had lost all those years before. But not only is she redeemed, not only is she given an inheritance and a full abundant life, but Naomi also receives an inheritance. She receives security. She receives provision. And, you know, it's just as we see Boaz's redeeming love for Ruth, so we can see the Father's redeeming love for each one of us. See, he brings us back home. Just as Ruth found a home, we too can find a home. Just as Ruth found safety and security and relationship and provision and was given an inheritance, when the Father brings us home, we too are brought into a safe place. We too can live securely. We too are brought into relationship. We are provided for, and our Father gives us an inheritance. See, our past, just like Ruth, our past, our background doesn't matter, because all the Father wants to do is shower his love upon us. You know, and we think our past disqualifies us, but it doesn't, because all the Father is keen on doing is bringing us home and showering his love on us. See, his love brings us home. And that's when we understand what this life is all about. That's when we begin to live the full and abundant life. This is the depth of the Father's love. You know, when we understand that, when we find our home with him, where we simply are accepted for who we are, that our past doesn't matter, but we recognize and understand we no longer need to strive to win his favor or work hard to please him. It's like we can come home and we can go, I belong. This is my place. And that's what the Father wants to do for each one of us, is he wants to bring our hearts home. Because it's in that homecoming that we feel safe. It's in that homecoming that we know we're provided for. See, as I've said, it's not our life, it's his life within us. And when we come to this place of knowing that our hearts have come home, we step into this life, we step into this abundant life. We're brought to a safe place where we know that we are loved no matter what. See, this is the life the Father wants us to enjoy to the full. Our eternal life that began when we were born again is meant to be an abundant one. It encompasses everything you do, everything you are. It doesn't only cover or represent a segment of what you do. It is life to the full in every area. And we begin to experience that when we have a homecoming. And when we find our home in his heart, when we know that we are loved. See, This is the depth of the Father's love. This is the depth of his love for you and for me. This is what he wants to draw us into. And then we begin to experience that we really do get to live this life. Can we just pray together and then Barry, come back and join us? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we simply thank you once again for your great love for us. Thank you, Father, that your love brings us home, where our past doesn't matter. Father, I believe you want to speak that word into some people's hearts this evening, that they can come home, that their past doesn't matter, their past doesn't separate. Father, just speak that word of life into those individuals' hearts and help them to turn round so that they can see the life you offer us as sons and daughters and not be caught up trying to fight and struggle and guard against things being stolen or killed and destroyed. Father, if we've placed too much emphasis on any rule book, we want to throw that out the window this evening. We want to turn round and we want to let our hearts come home. I really feel that it's for a few people specifically this evening that he wants to bring your heart home. And I guess you'll know if that's you. And I just ask you just to respond in the quietness of your room and say, Father, bring my heart home. Father, help me to turn around and see who you are and what you offer. Father, help me just to turn around and come home. And in doing so, to find that place of provision and safety and security, that place of belonging. That, Father, you would wrap us around with that robe of authority and you would give us an inheritance as sons and daughters. Father, just bring our hearts home. Thank you, Dad. Thank you.